All right, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We've been in and out of the book of 1 Timothy, very slowly going through it. This morning, it will be our Bible study. And this is going to be a true Sunday school. This is really going to be a Sunday school. We're going to look up these words and study some of the words that are here and see the true meaning of them, what's really being said here. Because if we don't get to the heart of what is actually being said in these verses, we are going to be completely misled by our ignorance of the Word and of the Scripture. We will be totally misled. If we don't understand this, then we'll lead ourselves way off the beaten path. And you'll see what I mean here in just a second. Let's pick up where we left off last time. We'll begin reading in verse 8. Let's read verses 8 to 10. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, each one of those verses mean what they say. All right? Never does a verse of Scripture say something and not mean what it says. Never. Never. Those verses mean exactly what they say. I'm going to tell you this, though. Oftentimes, we misunderstand the meaning. We misunderstand what it's saying. It means exactly what it's saying. But usually the problem for us is we don't understand what it's saying. So in a moment, we're going to see, when we look back on this, you're going to say, yep, that's exactly what it's saying. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. We're going to start right here. This is not saying, and it does not mean, that men should go around everywhere praying and lifting up their hands like this. It does not mean that. And it's also not saying that women should wear flat shoes and a jean skirt that almost touches their ankle, and a gray or a drab colored top with no jewelry and no makeup and a miserable look on their face. That's not what it's saying. And I am glad for that. I'm really glad for that. I was thinking about this and I thought that's the moment to shut up at that point. That's where a man gets himself in trouble, saying, I'd rather my wife wear makeup than not wear makeup, get her hair done than not get her hair done. But I will say this, I'm glad. I really am glad for that. I am glad for my sake. But I'm also glad for your sake. I am so glad for your sake that you are not under that miserable bondage. And I am so glad for the fact that we men, all right, all of the men in this room, are not in absolute ignorance and in arrogance and in self-righteousness, putting all you women under that bondage. I'm so thankful for that. That God has relieved us from that mess. That's all it is. It's just a bunch of mess. And I pray that the Lord will free more, both men and women. I pray He'll free many more. Silliness. All right, then what does it mean? Well, I'll start with verse 8. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8 says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I want to give you the definition of all these words, okay? When you get a concordance and it's a Bible dictionary and it'll tell you exactly what that word meant, when it was written. The Old Testament is Hebrew, the New Testament is Greek. It's just a dictionary. All right, so the word men means males. A lot of times in the Scripture it'll mean men and women. This time it just means men. Pray means pray to God. Supplicate, it means worship. That's what it means, worship. Everywhere means every place at all times. Lifting up means with festivity, a festival, a holiday, celebrating. Holy hands, holy means right, divine, innocent, pure, blameless, hands or hands. Without wrath means with no worthiness of punishment. Okay? No worthiness of punishment. And doubting, without doubting, means with no fickleness or change. Now, in just hearing the definition of those words, can we not see that he is not telling vile, self-righteous, wicked men to go around lifting up their hands, putting on a show for everybody at Walmart and everybody at the restaurant and every time they have an opportunity to draw attention to themselves? That's error. That's silliness. That's wickedness. I can see men worshiping God everywhere, at all times, in the heart, with joy and celebration, but you lose me at holy. That's where you lose me. Innocent, blameless, absolutely pure hands, lifting up absolutely innocent, blameless, pure hands. Hands that are completely without worthiness of punishment and without fickleness and change. All right, we're going straight to the point. Here's the punchline of the whole thing. If we are going to worship God at all times with joy and celebration by lifting up holy hands that are completely spotless and sure, then we have to lift up Christ's hands. We have to lift up Christ's hands. When I look at my hands, this is what I see. Sin. Vileness, wickedness, guilt, shame, blame. That's all I see. I see hands that are worthy of wrath. Hands that are worthy of punishment. I think about the absolute ignorance. Bless their hearts. The ignorance of men who think that their hands are worthy to offer up to God. This holy God. And the foolishness of men who think that God would accept their worship by what he sees on their hands and in their hands. Verse 8 means exactly what it's saying. What it's saying, that's what it means. But let's make sure we understand that it's saying the only hope that we have of worshiping God without his wrath coming on us is by offering up holy hands. We must offer up holy hands. Therefore, we'd better not offer up our own. The works of our own. The only hands that we have are Christ's hands. That's the only holy hands that we have. Men love to lie from the pulpit by telling people he has no hands but your hands, not realizing what utter blasphemy that is. Not only are they saying that he has no hands of his own and he can't do anything without your help, he's saying that, but more blasphemous than that, if my hands are his hands, then that's saying that he has sinful, wicked, vile, polluted hands. And that's utter blasphemy. That's absolute blasphemy. So this is what verse 8 is saying. When it comes time for us to worship God, we had better stick our hands in our pockets. That's what we need to do. And we'd better, in our hearts, lift up the perfect and holy work of the perfect, holy hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. His hands are the only hands I have before you. His work is the only work that I have before you. That is the only thing that we can offer to God. The finished work. The righteousness. All that perfection. The Scripture says He went around everywhere doing good. And the redemption. That perfection and that sin payment of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. If we lift up Christ's holy hands, then we can lift them up without fear. There's no worthiness of punishment. And we can lift them up in full assurance without doubting. I wonder if these hands will be accepted. Oh, yeah, they'll be accepted. All right, let's look at verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, and these are four important words, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. In verse 9, the word women means females. Ladies, it specifically means a wife. All right, remember that. That's what it specifically means, a wife. Adorn themselves. Adorn means to put on, to put in order, to make ready themselves. In modest apparel. Modest means well arranged, orderly. Apparel means clothes, a covering. With shamefacedness, that means beholding. It means to behold. It means with downcast eyes toward men and modesty toward God. It means reverence. Verse 9 says, and sobriety, that means soundness of mind, clearness of mind, not with broided hair. I guarantee you that's the one that gets all you ladies. You're wondering, wait, did I braid that? All right, this is what it means. Woven, weaved, twisted, intertwined, intermingled hair. Gold, pearls, costly array, are all things of value and worth, things of great price. He said, don't adorn yourself with that. But rather, verse 10 says, that which becometh women professing, that word means confessing, godliness. Godliness means reverence toward God, the worship of God, devoutness toward God, with good works, worthy, acceptable deeds. All right, now those two verses mean exactly what they say. Exactly what they say. Women, meaning the wife. All right, now this is spiritual. The bride of Christ. Women represent, and you're going to see, I'm going to go ahead and give you here's a little nugget of what's to come. If you look down at verse 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived. Adam represents Christ. Eve represents His bride. All of God's people. And everything that it has to say about the woman represents all of us, men and women, the bride of Christ before Him. And like Job said, I think it's time I put my hand over my mouth. It's all an illustration of Christ and His bride. Everything Paul said in Ephesians 5, you can apply it to a physical marriage, but he said, I'm talking about Christ and His bride. So the wife, representing the bride of Christ, all of God's people, ought to be modest people. Let's not just skip over that. Both in worship and in everyday life. We should not do radical things in order to draw attention to ourselves. We should not. You know, people think, well, you know, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I can go do what I want to. Paul said, God forbid. All we're doing when we do things that draw attention to ourselves is we're idolizing the flesh. We're just glorifying and worshiping the flesh. And that needs to be squashed, especially when it comes to glorifying and worshiping God. All of that needs to be put away. I thought about the Kentucky Derby. The biggest concern for women at the Kentucky Derby is who has the best hat. I made sure all the women had no hats on before I said that. I was hoping nobody would wear a hat today. All right, you go to the prom. What's the biggest concern at the prom for a girl? Who has the best dress? All of that needs to be squashed when we present ourselves before God to worship Him. All of that. But here's the fact of the matter. All right, I say all that, but here's the fact of the matter. That hat and that dress is not the problem. There's nothing wrong with that hat. And there's nothing wrong with that dress. They are not the problem. The problem is in here. The problem is in the heart. We can have a problem in the heart whether we're wearing a hat or not. We can be completely eaten up with sin whether our hair is braided or not. Totally eaten up with sin. There can be just as much pride in modesty as there is in extravagance. And I'm going to repeat that. And that needs to be repeated about 100 times because there's more pride in modesty. There can be and there is more pride in modesty than there is in extravagance. What Paul had to say to the men, he was dealing with the heart of the matter. He wasn't dealing with physical hands. Shove your hands in your pocket. This is a heart thing. And in like manner also, what Paul has to say to the women, he's dealing with the heart of the matter. When the Lord told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse, I love the story of when God told Samuel, I want you to go anoint my king. All right, so he told Samuel, you go to the house of Jesse. He has all these sons. And when Samuel went, he did not know he was going to anoint David. He didn't know who it was. And David was the smallest. He was the youngest. They started at the biggest, the tallest. But this is what the Lord told Samuel. He said, Samuel, don't look on his outward appearance. I don't look on the outward appearance. I look on the heart. I look on the heart. Based on the definitions we just heard, spiritually in the heart, this is what Paul is saying. As the bride of Christ, adorn yourself in modesty, lowliness, meekness. Don't come in your own glory. Men or women, don't walk in to worship God in your own glory, desiring your own glory. Come desiring the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come with a desire to be robed, covered, adorned in the beauty and the glory of His righteousness, His apparel. Put His apparel on. With eyes of the soul that truly behold Him and reverence Him. How many times do men and women walk into a house of God not reverencing Him? They don't know what it's all about, but it's not about Him. He said, wife of the bridegroom, wife of the groom, you come in with eyes that behold Him and reverence Him, eyes that are downcast toward men, but reverencing toward God. Come with a clear mind. May the mind of Christ be in you. He humbled Himself and made Himself of no reputation. He said, I'm meek, I'm lowly. He said, don't weave or try to intertwine your glory with His. You know what 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15 says? It says, a woman's hair is her glory. What should she do with it? Lift it up? Bind it up? Try to weave it? Try to intertwine it? Don't turn over there, but this is what Jeremiah 7 verse 29 says. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away. He's not telling them literally to get rid of their hair. This will fix it. Y'all get rid of your hair. He's not saying that. He's saying take all of your own glory, all of your own crown, and cast it away. So you can take everything that's left and cast it on Christ. Cast it all on Him. I want to physically show you this. This is precious. I believe you'll see this to be precious. Look with me at Luke 7. We're almost done. Luke chapter 7. Verse 36. It says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at His feet behind Him, weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment. You can't do that with braided hair. And I'm not talking about hair. You cannot do that with braided hair. Our Lord is not even on this earth anymore, but we can still do that right now in the heart. All right, you can come with the most beautiful updo that Kingsport has ever seen and still come to worship God with the let down hair that is ready to wash the Master's feet and kiss His feet and anoint His feet with everything you have in the heart. That hair of the heart. That's a prime example. Paul said, don't array yourself in the gold and the pearls and the costly things. Don't put the value on you. Don't put the worth on you. Don't see the riches to be on you. Cast all of the unsearchable riches on Christ. He's the pearl of great price. His blood is that precious payment of value, the riches of His grace and His mercy. That's the costly array that all of His people wear, His wife puts on. That's what it is also to profess godliness. It's to profess Him in all of these things. It's to confess Him. It's reverence toward God and the worship of God. And faith toward Christ, casting it all on Christ, that's the only good work that a sinner can do before Him. Faith in Christ, that's the only good work. And that's not even a work of our own. That's the gift of God. That's a work that He does and gives it to His people. So our good works are only of Him, through Him, to Him, by Him, in Him. He's our good work. Do we have any good works to go meet God with? Yes, we do. Christ, in Him, what He's done, He is our good works. So let's read it one more time. Back in the text, 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. If men ever get a hold of the holy hands of Christ, they'll lift them up. If God ever reveals the holy hands of Christ, they will honestly shove their hands in their pocket and they'll lift up His hands. And if women ever get a hold of the beauty and the glory and the good works of Christ, they'll put them on. They'll put it all on. I pray the Lord will teach us that. Teach us to do men. Pray the Lord will teach us that. Ladies, pray the Lord will teach us that. All right, you're dismissed.